Susan and I just spent a few days at the beach this past week, so if we look extra tan, you know why. Actually, I don't think I ever crawled out from under the umbrella, and if I did, I had sunscreen on, so I think I was pretty well safe. But we got to spend some time with our granddaughter. Our granddaughter had never seen the ocean before. We were so excited to be a part of that, and just to watch her expression and all that, and she ran into the water just feet deep, and was so excited for the waves. She kind of got used to it and then wanted to go a little deeper, and everything was brand new, and it was just exciting. So we the first day she kind of got used to the water, and then we would go out a little bit and get a little bit deeper, and then she'd experience the waves, and then she got very, very comfortable. She wanted to hold my hand, so, you know, Papa's glad to give his hand. And we started just jumping the waves, you know, and we get a little deeper every time, and we jump the waves, and she's just having a blast. She didn't have a care in the world. And then something rubbed against her foot or bit her or stung her or something. All of a sudden, she started screaming. So I looked down, I picked her up, and I saw it was red. We went back up to the umbrella, and then we ended up having to take her back to the place we were renting, which was not far. That's where her dad was, and he had all the magic words, and he calmed her down, and she got fine. Well, I was really worried about the next day. We were pretty well through with the beach for that day. We went to the pool, I think, later. But I was worried about what the fear that would be in her the next day. So we kind of with a little bit of anxiety maybe in us, wondering how she was going to respond. Because, you know, you can have a traumatic incident, and it follows you. It can follow you the rest of your life if you give it room. And you just don't know what's going to happen. But to my delight, she seemed to want to get her feet wet again. And then she wanted to go a little bit deeper. And then she reached for my hand. She said, "Papa, let's jump the waves." And before I knew it, it is as though nothing ever happened the day before, which I was so grateful for as a grandfather. Susan was grateful as her grandmother that this thing, whatever happened, it was kind of on our watch. You know, our son was back at the condo, and we get the baby hurt. So we're a little bit worried about that, but it looked like it was going to be fine. And then I felt the Lord nudge me. Used to be he would have to slap me upside the head for me to hear him. But now I'm affected by a nudge. And I felt this nudge from God. He says, "That's how I want my children to walk through life. Yes. Trust in me all the time, no matter what happens." He said, "Yes, there will be times in which things will not be perfect, but that doesn't mean I'm not there." Amen. And when he nudged me with that, it just made a mark in me. Wow. How many times do we fret about things when God has already said, "I'm going to be with you"? And we have a bad experience, and we carry that with us, and we think just because it happened that way, it's going to happen that way again. We may even ask, "Where are you, God?" Well, this month, we're going to be talking and asking and posing the question to you, who do you trust? David writes this in Psalms 20, verse 7, out of the Amplified, "Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember and trust in the name of the Lord our God." Now, most of us can quote this verse, but do we really trust God in all things? Listen, it's easy to say we trust God when everything's going good. It's easy to say we trust God when things are in perfect order. It's easy to say we trust God when it's smooth sailing. But the true test of trusting is what happens when things aren't so great. So what's trust? Trust is reliance on the integrity, strength, ability, surety, provision, protection, etc. of a person or thing. I find very interesting that the word trust in the Greek and the Hebrew languages comes from words meaning to entrust, to have confidence, to rely upon totally. Now, there's a lot of conditional trust out there. You can see it in some sayings. "I'll trust you as far as I can throw you." I will trust you when pigs fly. I will trust you when hell freezes over. I will trust you if the waves are small. In the famous business posting, I trust in God, all others pay cash. But true trust isn't supposed to be conditional. You either do or you don't. You either trust or you don't. I can remember as a child watching the circus, especially the high wire act, thinking about the amount of trust it would take for them. Trust in their own abilities, they have to be ready. Trust in their training, trust in the equipment. And last but not least, trust in the net. I couldn't imagine having that kind of trust. Within the very definition of the word trust is to be counted on. Those high wire athletes could count on their abilities, their training, their equipment, and the net. And if it were me, it'd have to be I'd trust in the power of God to even get up there. I wouldn't want to get up there. Now, sadly, we've all been untrustworthy at times, and it's not surprising that some may have a hard time trusting us. But the fact is that God is the only one who is worthy of all our trust. He's always there, always providing, always carrying us, always near. God's always the answer. It's not he always has the answer. He is the answer. But even with all that he's done, many times we find ourselves not trusting God. And oh, how that must disappoint him. We've got a routine with our dogs at night, and every night when it's time to go to bed, there's three steps. We do it every night. Step one, they go outside. Step two, they come back in. Step three, they get in the crate. That's where they sleep. And at the completion of every one of those three steps, I give them a kernel of dog food. We've had some weight issues with our dogs, so I give them a kernel. So the vet won't be mad at me. You've all seen the picture at the vet's office. If your dog has a weight problem, it's the owner. The owner's got the weight problem because we're doing the feeding. But anyway, at every completion, I give them a kernel of food. Now, one of our dogs, the rescue, mind you, trusts me completely. She will do every step without any additional coaxing. But the other one that was chosen, even though we've done it for years and years and years, he still doesn't trust me to give him the kernel. He has to see the kernel in my hand. How were we to know, and how was that dog going to know that he was born into a family named Thomas? Think about it. Thomas had to see, he didn't believe, he had to see, this dog has to see it. And now that his eyes and ears are not as good, you got to really make it plain. You can lay it right in front of him and he's still looking around. So I move his head toward it because I want him to know that that's going to happen. Sadly, many times, this is how we respond to God. And even though he's always come through for us, we find ourselves doubting whether he will now, when he's never, ever given us a reason to question his trustworthiness. Never. Think back. Look back. Whatever you need to do, look back. God has never failed you. We have failed God. We have done things that would disappoint him, but he's never failed us. Jeremiah 17:7-8. Listen to this as they out of the Amplified as well. Blessed with spiritual security is the one who believes and trusts in and relies on God, on the Lord, and whose hope and confident expectation is the Lord. For they will be nourished like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear the heat when it comes, but its leaves will be green and moist. And think about this last part. And it will not be anxious or concerned in a year of drought, nor stop bearing fruit. In other words, if you place your trust in God, you will not be left wanting. Now, I've always been impressed by the trust level of Jacobed, the mother of Moses. Maybe you didn't know that's her name, but that's her name. It's probably not pronounced right, but that's how we're going to say it today, Jacobed. The story of Moses is found in Exodus chapter 2, but let me bring you up to date. Prior to this chapter, there was this new king over Egypt. He got very insecure about the vast number of Israelites in the land. And no matter what the king did to them, the Israelites continued to grow in number, and therefore the king remained insecure. He then devised a plan that would kill all the baby boys that were born. But as we know, God had another plan, a plan for deliverance for his people. The deliverance of his people was in the making before Moses was even born. We read in Exodus chapter 2, the first 10 verses, about this time a man and a woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant, gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months, hidden from the government. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. And she put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Soon, Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. I don't think that would have been a far stretch. I don't think any of the Egyptian babies were out in a floating bassinet, were they? The baby's sister approached the princess. "Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she asked. "Yes, do," the princess replied. So the girl went out and called the baby's mother. "Take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the baby's mother, "and I will pay you for your help." So the woman took the baby home and nursed him. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to the Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, "I lifted him out of the water." I think, to me, this is the very definition of trust from Jacobed. Jacobed trusted God fully. Jacobed didn't know all the details, but she trusted God. Jacobed didn't have all the answers, but she trusted God. Jacobed didn't have any firm assurances, but she trusted God. Jacobed really didn't know what would happen, but she trusted God. We all know these verses in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." There is not a doubt in my mind that Jacobed did all these things. Jacobed trusted God with all her heart. Jacobed didn't lean on her own understanding. Jacobed sought God's will, and God showed her the path to take. And since we know the rest of the story, we know that Moses was the one God used to deliver his people from slavery. Have you ever really thought about what would happen if Jacobed had not trusted God with her baby boy? I should have considered what may have happened. But here's what I found in my life, and maybe you have found that too. God is trustworthy. God will never fail. God will always provide. God always makes a way. Amen. And therefore, our job is to seek his will, to trust he will guide, and to obey what he tells us to do. As the old hymn says, there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You know, while we were at the beach, one of the things that we splurged on was renting a golf cart to get around. It was on Fripp Island, and it's just easier to get in one of those little things and run around and do what you need. When the guy was going over the specifics, I guess I looked like I needed a tutorial, but he went over the specifics, and he got to the gas gauge, and he said, "Listen, this gas gauge is not very accurate, and you'll need to pull up the seat, fold it up, every once in a while to actually see if the tank still has gas in it." The gas tank was clear. You could see the level of the gas. "Then and only then can you be secure that you have gas. Don't trust the gauge." Maybe you can't trust your own gauge for your level of trust in God. Maybe if you lift up the seat and look at the actual tank, you'll be able to see where you are. So today you must ask yourself, what is my trust level in God? If you find that your trust level is low, then go to the filling station. That's what we used to call them, and that is God's Word. And fill up your tank. Maybe you just need to top it off a little. Do it. Or maybe you need a full tank because you've let your tank get too low. Do it. Open up your trust tank and receive. So let me be the attendant, the trust station attendant today, and fill your tank, no matter what your gauge may say. Psalms 37, 4 through 6. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him, and He'll help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Can you see your tank filling just a little bit? Then let's look at Psalms 9, verse 10. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you. Can you see your tank rising just a little bit? Whether your meter's going or not, your tank is getting full. You're hearing about God. Psalms 28, 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. I trust Him with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. Can you feel your trust level rising in your tank? Isaiah 12, 2. See, God has come to save me. I will trust in Him and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. See, when you fill your tank with the Word of God, your trust level goes up. There's an old song dated back to the early 1900s that will help remind you of God's trustworthiness, and it's entitled, God Will Take Care of You. Listen to these words. Be not dismayed. Whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide. God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. All you may need, He will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon His breast. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day, over all the way. He'll take care of you. God will take care of you. Before I went out into the ocean with my granddaughter, I was standing about, I don't know, knee deep. She hadn't come out yet. And I just began to think about how big God was. And the picture of God. And the security of God. And I remember at times when I was just, I don't know, first or second grade, my parents would take us to the beach and we'd play, and then there'd be a time that they would come out. And they would be one on each side, maybe me in the middle, maybe my sister next to her, whatever it was. And we would go out deeper. And I remember thinking as a child, it doesn't matter how big the waves are, because my mom and dad are here. It doesn't matter what may happen, because they're here. And I remember it being the most secure place in the midst of things that could frighten you. We have to think of God that way. If we're going to have our tank full and our trust level raised, we have to think of Him this way. that no matter what, God's with me. No matter what, even if something bites me, God's with me. Even if something stings me, God's with me. Even if the worst possible thing could happen, guess what? God's with me. And there is no better place of security than that. That doesn't mean that you do crazy stuff and just test God. But you can actually walk in confidence in God when your tank is full of His Word and your trust level is high. And when your tank is full of His Word, it doesn't matter what anybody else on the outside says. If I had taken that golf cart to the gas station and filled it up based on the gas gauge itself, I may not have put in the right amount. But when I checked the tank, I knew how much I needed. We need to check our tank. If we find that we are mistrusting God, that we are anxious, that we are fearful, that we are questioning, that we are even the what ifs are the things that plague us, if that is plaguing us, then we need to lift up the seat of the golf cart, look at the tank, and realize that your petrol is a little low. And then you go to the station and you fill up. When I was young, they had gas attendants. And when you pull up, you tell them how much you need. And you always felt pretty wealthy when you said, fill her up. But me in my teen years, I want $3. On a good day, I want $5. But when I just got paid, it's fill her up. When you go to the station, no matter what level you're in, what level of trust that you have, you can ask God to fill her up. And you can expect Him to do it. He will not withhold one good thing from you. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to be in the waves and trust Him. He wants us to be stung by a jellyfish and trust Him. He wants us not to be wary of what's going on, but to trust Him. He'll give you wisdom. And the Bible says that we commit our ways to Him. Hey, God, whatever you want from me is what I want. And even though I might walk through the valley of the shadow of death, guess what? I will fear no evil. Because your rod and your staff are there to comfort me. Now, just in case someone used a rod on you that brought more than comfort to you, I want you to think about a shepherd guiding you. Don't go over there. No, no. Let me pull you back a little bit here. No, no, over here, over here. Stay right here. And when you're there, it is as though you can trust everything the shepherd is doing, because the shepherd wants only good for you. And the moment we start seeing God as anything less than a shepherd, than a manly shepherd, we're going to get in trouble. And our faith is going to dissipate. And we're not going to even run to the filling station to fill up our tank. We're going to go out on our own. And we get all the way out and realize that we may have no petrol. Susan and I took the golf cart into different places on the island. We had, it had been years and years and years since either one of us had been to Fripp Island. So we just kind of rode around a little bit. And I got to thinking, I didn't tell her this because she would be a little anxious. Honey, I forgot to look under the seat before we left. So I don't really know if I got enough gas to get back. I didn't tell her all that. But internally, I realized that I had not looked under the seat before we went the far reaches of that island. Well, I beg God in the quietest voice that I have, please, Jesus, fill my tank. Because it's going to be a long walk. And it wasn't my golf cart. I'd have to leave it there and somebody could steal it. And then all of a sudden I have to buy one that I don't get. The scenario just didn't look too good. I said, God, it would be a lot simpler if you just fill my tank and carry me in. And how much that is the heart of a shepherd, to see the need of the sheep, even if the sheep had made a stupid decision, but want to carry them in a secure way through whatever has to happen. And if we had run out of gas, we would have made it. We weren't in the wild. Wasn't going to be a big deal. But Susan would remember. And therefore, every time I got into a car, have you checked the gas? Have you checked the gas? But the reason she would do that is because she cares for me. And God will give us those directives. Check your tank. There's a filling station right around the corner. Last filling station for the next 50 miles. You better go in there. And you get filled up with God's word, and your trust level begins to rise. And then all of a sudden, the things that normally would bother you or cause you fear or anxiety or uncertainty, you don't even think about it anymore. Once I asked God to please get us back to home base in that golf cart, I gave it to him. I didn't think about it again. Did he put something in there? I don't know. I didn't check. All I know is we made it back, and I didn't have to fess up to Susan that I didn't check the gas before we left. And God's good about those kinds of things. He knows what you face. He knows what's coming at you. But he's also promised to never leave us or forsake us. He wants us to have the highest trust level. So all week, I want you to think about this. Who do I trust? Do I trust in chariots? Do I trust in natural? Or do I trust in the name of the Lord my God? And it has to be more than lip service. It has to be more than you just repeating in that verse. Your tank has to be full. You can read that verse and it not do much for you if your tank is low. But if you begin to allow him to fill your tank, fill her up. Then you begin to declare that, and it's a declaration that I don't trust in the natural. No, I trust in Jesus. And it may look like things are going to go crazy, and we live in a crazy world, don't we? We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if it's true that someone said it's going to happen or what. We just don't know. So it's so good that we have the Father that we can lean into. And I love how that scripture says, that song says, I lay my head on his breast. That's the ultimate of security. Safe and secure in our Father's arms. He is trustworthy. I don't have to prove it. I know it for me. You need to know it for you. And the only way you will know that is to go in with a full tank and see and compare it to when you went in with a half a tank or a lower tank. Things are different. Susan had a car when we first got married that if it got down to a quarter tank, it did not run as well. I thought it was just, you know, she's a woman, she don't know anything. I know that's terrible for me to even say, but I said, gas is gas. But when I drove her car and it got to one quarter, it didn't drive as well. It needed a refill. It needed fresh gas. And there was no leak in her car. We leak. And we need the Word of God. And we need it constantly. And it needs to be poured into us. And it needs to be poured so much it's overflowing. I know the gas stations don't like you to spill the gas, but God's Word does. He doesn't mind you spilling His Word over everywhere you go. Fill me up to overflowing so that the splashing that happens lands on people and their tank gets higher. You see, we can be contagious Christians, and we are to be contagious Christians. They should want what we have, and if we are not representing God well, they're not going to want what you have. But when you show them who Jesus is and what he's done for you, they'll want some of that. They'll want to know, where are you buying your gas? You're not getting that cheap stuff. That's high octane stuff you got there. Jesus wants you to walk confidently that you can trust Him with everything. He wants to replace the what ifs in your mind. What if this were to happen? Or what if this were to happen? He wants you confident in Him. So what if? So what if that would happen? God doesn't change. So what if my God's going to be with me? So what if? Who do you trust? Who do you really trust? We're going to force you to think about that over the next few weeks, because we can mess up there. And then our witness is not coming from a trusting vessel. And our witness is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to spread the good news of Jesus wherever we go. And how it looks is totally different in any situation. A friend of mine was, I might have said this last week, was on vacation. A pastor friend of mine, and he somehow got lined up to preach the next day in a bar at 10 o'clock in the morning. It went great, by the way. He said God was just amazing. And I don't know why I told you that story. Maybe you just needed it. I don't know, but I had a point there, but it went right out of my head. We need to trust God, even if He asks us to go in a bar and lead people to Jesus. What if? Can you trust God? What if? Can you trust God? I'm here to tell you, you can. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, you can trust Him. He is trustworthy, and He wants to fill up your tank so that your meter is full, your gauge is full, and you live life from a perspective of trusting God. Not from a perspective of mistrusting God, but for trusting God. Can we say amen? Amen. Let's pray.